You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D.I.E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna goin' when it rain. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Celtics Pulse. I am here with Tim and Cody. How you guys doing today?
Doing all right.
Doing well.
And Celtics Pulse is part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Be sure to check out the Great of the Rest podcasts that are part of the network at pulsepodcastnetwork.com. And we have two different sponsors today. One you will hear from later in the episode, that is Tix Blitz, a ticketing website that we have a discount code for as well. And the other one we have is Thrive Fantasy. It's going to be a prop betting app that is up and coming that if you use the link in our Twitter description, we will double your first deposit to get you started there. But last night, the Celtics played the Lakers, and I mean, there really wasn't a crazy amount of things to talk about. It was a Laker game. LeBron's on a minute restriction. It really was a game that we were set to win.
It kind of took the mickey out of it for the news that came out of LA leading up to it. First, around probably, I think, like 3 or maybe like 2:30, 3 o'clock, we had the stuff coming out about Brandon Ingram. I do want to say for anyone who's listening who happens to be a Lakers fan, which I think is slim to none if you're listening to CP, but I do feel terrible for Ingram. I hope he gets healthy and everything. But it's really terrible to hear about an injury that he's got going on, a health concern with that DVT. To sum it up briefly, it's a blood clot similar to what happened with Chris Bosh when he had it in his lungs. Now, this is the first instance of him having issues like that, but if he has to get medicated, he has to get another one. It could very well spell the end of his career. On top of that, you have Lonzo Ball, who's now going to be ruled out for the year with some issue with his ankle. And then they also didn't play Kuzma last night. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the matchup we all hoped for. It was still, you know, a decent game throughout for the most part. And then it kind of just, I don't know, kind of just died off. Ended up being kind of a, you know, a quick end, I guess, to the Lakers. And I'm disappointed to see that LeBron was only playing 28 minutes, but I really can't blame him in this situation.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, oh, sorry, Brandon. But,
no, you're good.
I mean, they're basically just going to mail this season in at this point. I mean, it hasn't gone to their expectations. You know, you add LeBron. You know, that's basically the narrative of LeBron's career. If he's on a team, they're destined for the playoffs, or they're destined to make a run somewhere. And it just really didn't come to fruition. Too many injuries. He was out for 20-plus games or around that. Lonzo Ball's been out for the better part of the last 2 months. Obviously, like you mentioned, with Ingram as well, not playing due to the blood clot injury. Kuzma, they decided to sit down for the night. So when they said minutes restriction for LeBron and potentially not playing back-to-back, that basically just said, yo, we're kind of not this year. Which, I mean, like I said, it's for the way their season has gone, just basically mailing in the season, trying to get as best a draft pick as you can. That's just what it is at this point. And obviously, you want to see LeBron. The NBA wants to see the Lakers be good. The Lakers are the second, if not debatably the best, you know, franchise the NBA has seen. Debatably.
And he said debatably.
Which we all know.
I guess that makes Minnesota third, right?
That makes Minnesota third.
Minneapolis.
Yes. But anyway, if the Lakers do well, the Celtics do well, the Sixers do well, the Knicks do well, the Bulls do well, the NBA does well, your quote-unquote original six, your power five teams, in terms of tradition, whatever. If they do well, then the league generally is doing well. Everyone wants to see the Celtics, the Lakers, be at the top, that pinnacle. And this year just isn't the Lakers' year. That's just all it is. It just, like I said, there was too many things that happened injury-wise. I mean, the Lakers were on a roll when they had the whole team there. There obviously were some, you know, kinks to wax out in the beginning of the year, and it looked like for a little bit they were putting it together. LeBron goes out, and then Lonzo, Kuzma, and Ingram can't carry the team, and then Ball goes out, and LeBron comes, then the defense, and the who's really dedicated, and then the entire media storm that follows LeBron wherever he goes ensues. So, yeah, that's just what I got on it.
There's a couple different facets to this season, too. When you're looking at it just from an overall standpoint, you've got the Lakers who finally went out and got a max star for the first time since, I don't know, Dwight Howard, maybe. You've gone ahead and added this all-star caliber player, probably the best all-around player on the planet in LeBron James, who has his first injury-crippled season, like, ever. And now this is going to be, I believe, the second time in LeBron's career since his sophomore season that he's going to miss the playoffs. And it's the first season he's been out west. Now, you pair that with the fact that you've got Ingram now with the blood clot issues, Lonzo out for the year with the ankle issue, and you have all the trade rumors that kind of not only crippled the Lakers, but definitely impacted the way the Celtics were playing too, with everything with Kyrie and the Anthony Davis rumors and all of that mess and kerfuffle by the media is going on. So that definitely impacts a locker room. But, you know, before everything happened with LeBron and he was guaranteed to, you know, sign there and stuff, we had everything going on with Kawhi Leonard. And I'm going to say that I think the Lakers made a mistake in not trying to make a serious, legitimate offer for Kawhi Leonard, even if it meant not signing LeBron or maybe trying to go in a different direction, because now you're looking at the assets that you have. You've got a potential career-threatening health issue with Ingram. It might not be a repetitive thing. This blood clot, it might just be a one-off thing that he can get rid of with proper stretching, medication. But if he gets a second one, which is similar to what happened to Chris Bosh, who is no longer in the NBA because literally if he steps onto a floor when he's taken the meds he's taken for his blood thinners, he could die. Mm-hmm. This could be the stake through the heart of Ingram's career. And that sucks because he's not even out of his mid-20s. Exactly. He's starting to finally turn his career on, and he has this come out of nowhere. And it's a double-edged sword because you don't get to see this guy come out on the floor and play his best basketball and watch him develop into a potential all-star. You're having him damage his trade value beyond repair. You could have traded him for Kawhi in the summer. Didn't do that. Didn't trade him for Butler when Butler was on the table. Now you've crippled his chances of getting traded for Anthony Davis. So, and on top of that, you know, the Lakers are exposed now because LeBron isn't what he used to be. And I think this is my personal, it's a lukewarm take, but I think LeBron is counterintuitive to developing youth. I think that's a given because most of the time you see him go onto a team, he sheds a bunch of assets, he pushes the GM to go ahead and get veteran guys that he wants to play with, and you're left with nothing when he walks out of town. But now you're in a situation where you've got the Lakers core, and they've got some really good, solid pieces, some guys who could be real, real players who are already contributing to a decent team. But now you've got all these issues going on with LeBron's health, and you just destroyed the locker room this past season. And now what are you left with? What are you supposed to do? This summer is a complete mystery for them, in my opinion. I just don't know where they're going to be able to go.
I think it is those injuries were a big part of this year. And then second really is the defensive effort. Like you see Kuzma pushing LeBron to play defense and all these things. And it's like, you're supposed to be the leader of this team and you definitely need to lead on the defensive end, especially these young guys, because they can score on their own. And not having Lonzo, who's one of the best guard defenders already, really, he's up there at least, really hurts them. But I think you really need to question this team construction. That Magic and Pelinka really need some question marks around them, because even the moves that were made during this season, like we talked about, all those injuries that were there yesterday, they still didn't play Mike Muscala that they traded Zubac for.
That was a terrible move.
That is the most confusing trade I've seen in the NBA, to be honest.
It was a trade to make a trade, and it was a stupid one at that. You know, how often were they talking about the future of Zubac and how he could kind of contribute to that future that the Lakers have? And then they just went and flipped him for a role player, and the guy's not even seeing minutes?
Yeah, it's like, what are you apparently doing to make a roster spot, but you could have cut Beasley on your own to do that. And JaVale was complaining about not getting enough minutes. You tell JaVale, get the hell over it, dude. This guy's our future, and maybe you're not bringing him back next offseason because you have bigger fish in mind, but he's contributing way more than Muscala is on this team this year.
Yeah, and I think it's not a stretch to say the Lakers went out and just got a bunch of names this summer. Some of the roster building that they did, you know, they went out, they got Rondo, they got Stevenson, McGee, as you said, Beasley. They went out and during the season traded for Reggie Bullock and added that to this.
That was a good one.
I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, like, look at the rest of it. It's just a bunch of pieces thrown together, not thinking about how they fit together whatsoever. I don't know if this was the Lakers' intention. Maybe it was, hey, you know, we'll go get some assets. We've got LeBron. Look what he did with Cleveland. Maybe we can go and see what's going to happen with this. And then it just blew up in their faces, and they're kind of like, well, you know, five of these guys are going to walk at the end of the season because they have expiring deals. So we'll go ahead and we'll take that salary cap. Maybe we'll go and chase, you know, a boogie. Like, maybe we'll go get DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe we'll try and go and seduce Clay to come over to LA. Maybe we'll try and go get Jimmy Butler to pair him with LeBron. But I feel like regardless of where LeBron went, there would have been issues because I think there were certain expectations for him coming into this season because he is arguably the greatest player on the planet and the greatest player of his generation. I just don't know how it would have worked in Philly or how much better it would have worked if he went to like a dark horse team. Like, honestly, if he went to the Nuggets, that would have been really interesting. Or if he went to the Clippers and they were somehow able to, you know, scabber around him. I don't know. I feel like there would have been problems regardless of where he went. But because of the way the Lakers situation is and because you have Magic Johnson running at the ship right now, you are just doomed to fail.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like I was saying before we went on. Every time when LeBron is on a team for his entire career or after his second or third season, if you have LeBron on your team, it doesn't matter who you have around him, he will get you to the playoffs. He will get you to the second round. And that's the thing. So the Lakers are like, okay, so we have a good amount of youth. We have LeBron. We have some cap space. If we just put competent players, don't have to be superstars, they will be fine. You know, the Rajon Rondo, it's like when you have a team in 2K and you just go out and sign all like the 75 to 77 overall guys in free agency your first year and you win like 45 games. That's kind of what they were going. That was the approach that they went with, where if we just get players to play with LeBron James, we'll have NBA experience, potential playoff experience. I mean, we all know Rondo in the playoffs and Lance in the playoffs, they're different beasts. You know, they elevate their game to the fullest of capabilities, even at the ages they are now.
And they're National like, TV Rondo.
Yeah. We just put these, you know, decent pieces around LeBron. That's all we need. When their whole goal is 2019 anyway, so I want to say that their mindset was get into the playoffs, get the young guys playoff experience, and then next year when they get a big name guy, which I believe they will get a big name guy, don't really know exactly who, but it would be a Clay or a DeMarcus or a Kawhi or a Jimmy Butler, something, someone around those lines. I believe that they'll go to LA. Then you have two superstars, potential, depending on how Ingram, Ball, and Kuzma developed, maybe even a second or third or fourth star with playoff experience, all ready to take the West back if we assume that Kevin Durant's leaving and potentially even Klay Thompson leaving and the Warriors don't have that mystique left with them. So that was, I believe, their whole plan, but that backfired because now they're not in the playoffs, like you said. They're basically mailing the season in. So what is that really showing? And like you said, Tim, you can't really – LeBron really can't develop players. Well, like you said, LeBron's whole career is winning, and you've seen players like a Tracy McGrady, like a Kevin Garnett, where they've wasted years trying to rebuild, even Kobe Bryant, trying to just build around these guys. So you don't want to waste this guy's what could be potentially 2 years left, 3 years left of dominance.
Yeah, but now LeBron's got a game show. He's working on Space Jam 2. I mean, I wasn't about it, but it really does seem like a lot of it was being in L.A. and having more opportunities around him. And I'm sure he wanted to get his kids there and things like this, but right. It seemed like it was more than basketball.
So, yeah, and so my point, yeah, so I would say to that, well, then stop complaining.
Yeah.
If you... My rule is if you can't do anything about it and you're not willing to change it, don't complain about it. If he knew that this was more than a basketball decision, well then, okay, well then don't say the comment of, I don't know who's really dedicated to this team, because to be fair, you probably are the least dedicated guy to this team. Like, I'm not saying LeBron isn't dedicated to basketball. That's just an ignorant statement to make.
LeBron is dedicated to LeBron.
But yeah, no, he has definitely another agenda going on, which, I mean, I don't blame him, whatever. He's done all his – if he retired tomorrow, he'd be the a top three player of all time in basically everybody's mind. He really doesn't have that much left to prove. This was more of a business decision than it was a basketball decision.
And it was for him and his family, I think.
Yeah, it was a family decision. Yeah. I think that's what it was. So if you, A, know you're not, you didn't go to the – team to compete, why are you complaining you're not competing?
It's because it's one of the first situations in his career where he just hasn't been able to get what he wanted.
But
he chose it.
I would assume you would expect that. I mean, like I said, beginning of the season, the Lakers looked good. I mean, this team was just hit with it. If this team was healthy throughout the whole year, they would be in the playoffs. I mean, the way they were playing, they would be a lower seed. I won't say they'd be the second or third seed in the West, but I believe they would have been like a 6 seed, a 7 seed in the playoffs.
And I think they make that 7 seed that they can take on Denver.
Yeah, and they could probably, yeah, like you said, no one really has faith in Denver, which, I mean, is fair because they haven't really done anything since Carmelo left. So as cool as they look now, they could just be the next Portland Trailblazers in the making.
Yeah.
But... You know, it's one of those things where you kind of expected this. And, like, especially with all the seasons, it comes to a point where if you don't make the playoffs, I mean, that's a decent excuse. I mean, no one's really healthy. It happens to teams where just the injury bug hits. That's what makes sports sports. And that's one of those things like, yeah, I did all I could. We just didn't do it. There's no shame in that. But him saying that it was not dedicated, calling out teammates, and then continuing to not play defense, which is quite clear. The last three years, LeBron's defense is basically when he wants to play. And that's the thing, when he wants to play. And, oh, I had the tweet like 2 weeks ago when he was like, I've activated playoff mode. Like, you don't, like, players go 100% all the time. If you just publicly said that, yeah, I don't give a shit for 80% of the season, I don't know. As a former player, it just hurts my head. But I'm going to digress before I go on a Stephen A. rant.
So, I have a question. I don't understand when people are making, you know, their top 10 list in the NBA, what is that based on? You know, obviously it's different for everyone, but I can name, you know, give me Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi, Steph, KD. If I will take all of them next year over LeBron.
Right.
I think that's, at this point, that's not a stretch. It's not. He's going to be, what, 34 this summer?
Yeah, something along those lines. He's definitely on the decline.
Okay, so he's almost 35. He's been playing since age 18. It's not a stretch to say, oh, yeah, I would pick all of these younger guys above him. He's not playing at the level he used to play at, and I don't fault him for it. He spent a lot of his career playing on teams that, granted, he helped build. He helped advise building. You know, it's... A lot of the problems he has have been created by him. And at the end of the day, it sucks because there's certain franchises, aka cough, cough, Cleveland, who kind of left him high and dry for part of his career when it came to building. And then eventually he just started shooting himself in the foot with roster building. So I wish he kind of went to a franchise with an established GM that could just be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we have. Who do you want us to go get? We'll decide if that's the best interest of not only you, but also for the team and for us to contend. And I don't know. I think going to a situation where you had Magic there, that was a bad idea. I think personally, a lot of with everything going on with the Magic situation is just resting on the laurels of Lakers exceptionalism. That I think they expected to get a meeting with Paul George this summer. I think it went south. And because of that, a lot of their plans got thrown into disarray. I think the long-term goal was go and get Paul George, go and pair him with LeBron, then, you know, maybe go and try and add someone via trade or see if he can get someone in free agency. And now I don't know what the plan is. Maybe they go after Boogie because he wants out of Golden State because he wants to get paid more and they're not going to pay him. There's so many moving pieces this summer. I just don't see anyone being, you know, lured to LA to play with LeBron and a bunch of kids. No. One of which has a major health issue and LeBron on the decline, as we've been talking about. And I also don't think people want to play with LeBron. Jimmy Butler had a chance to play with LeBron. You know, Paul George had a chance to go play with LeBron. And Kawhi Leonard has been vocal, not once, but now they've repeated again twice. He has no interest in playing with LeBron. So how is he one of the best players on the planet and no one wants to fucking play with him?
Yeah. Is Jeff Van Gundy crazy for saying that LeBron should be on the trading block? And like to preference that a little bit, it's not that just straight up LeBron is available, but it's if I get – he was clarifying very clearly that if I get blown away by an offer, then I'm considering moving LeBron. And I mean, I'm all for that. I think that if you get a crazy package of a nice young guy, say you can land a Ben Simmons and one other nice piece or something, that fits LA's timeline a whole lot better. And I'd rather move forward with all these young guys in another amazing young piece rather than trading the farm of all those young guys for maybe you can land an Anthony Davis.
Or if you land a guy that like Anthony Davis and he has an opportunity to walk this season after, or he's not going to, you know, decide to sign an extension. I'm glad someone mentioned Van Gundy saying that last night. It was like on the back of my mind towards the beginning of the pod. I'm like, man, is anyone going to mention this? Because like, this was kind of crazy. Like, I just can't imagine signing a guy and trading him like that. It's a bad almost, look.
It's almost taboo to think about it, you know? Like, are the Angels going to trade Mike Trout? No.
Ooh, different situation, man.
I know, different situation, but it's one of those things where, like, when has the best player – well, we just had the – he might not be the best player anymore, but when has, like, the best player in a sport gotten traded while they were still, quote-unquote, in their prime?
I mean, we traded Isaiah Thomas. Does that count? Oh, that's true. He was definitely the best player in the NBA at that time.
At that but year, anyway, yeah.
Like, would you say – like A-Rod in 04?
I think it's apples and oranges. I think it's a different sport, and it's just the age is different.
But it's even just like a sport thing. Like, who really, like, you never really trade, like, the best player in the league, or like, even like the top three players in the league, like, they never get traded. Like, I think Kawhi, I mean, obviously every situation is different. So, like, if it's trade demand or something, but like, if LeBron doesn't publicly demand a trade, do they – I don't think they can trade him. I mean, like, it's – even
though they can, it would just be a bad look.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Extremely bad look. It's just one of those things where, like I said, if Mike Trout never says – doesn't come out with a public trade thing, he doesn't get traded. Like, that's just the thing. Like, you would rather take your chances building around what you already know than throwing that away for something that potentially couldn't go right. You know, like, you already have the established consensus best player in the sport.
I mean, who would the team even be? Like, yeah, I don't...
What would be... What, that's the thing. What would be the package? Like, what would... like
what team? I mean, like a Carl Anthony Towns or something? Like I'm just trying to think of some crazy next-level young guy.
Like, you would have to, like... Probably, like, I don't know, would you trade, like, for the Sixers? You trade Joel Embiid? Like, is
fuck
that,
no.
like,
the I mean, they don't want Simmons and Braun, though.
Exactly. No, do you trade a Ben Simmons for LeBron? But like,
I think you would.
What is his value? Because like, if you go down the league, would you trade Kevin Durant for LeBron straight up? Yeah, probably.
No.
Which side are you talking about?
Just like in general, like would you think that was a fair?
Yeah, that's okay. That's important. I would trade LeBron for Kevin Durant. I absolutely.
About just straight
but
value.
Not vice versa.
If you think about straight value a player brings to you, would you trade LeBron for James Harden straight up?
No.
Okay, so now it means anyone below James Harden, you'd have to package.
It'd have to be a bunch of pieces, and it has to be future assets.
Yeah, and would you trade Anthony Davis for LeBron straight up?
No.
I don't know. If I'm the Lakers, yes.
No, here's the thing. What it waters down to is what team is actually going to want to trade for LeBron after seeing his comments to the media this year, the amount of time he's missed, you know, the amount of giddy up that he's lost. He's not the same guy he was. Once again, don't blame him for it. This is just what happens with most athletes.
Yeah. Plus, he has no
not
trade
many
clause.
Are accept-
right? Yeah,
does he have a no-trade clause?
I'm not sure.
LeBron definitely has a no-trade clause.
I mean, even if he doesn't, he does, right, you know, like.
But
yeah. I will look
it has to be a team that not only, if that's the case, a team that LeBron has to approve of, and
he does not have a no-trade clause.
Is he really not?
No.
This is the first time in his career that he's signed like a long-term max deal in like a long time. He's been doing for the past, I think, six years, he's been doing one play. If he goes ahead and he signs this big contract and then he gets traded the year after, this is going to cause a meltdown in the sports world for like contracts. Like, this is a big deal. No trade clauses are going to be like almost like adding a couple extra mil into contracts. Or if it's like selected trade clause, like where you can be like, I will be traded to one of these 10 teams and only one of these 10 teams. You know, they have it in certain other sports and it's selective with the NBA too. But point being, you have to find a franchise that's going to want to trade for him. Now, one franchise that I can think of right off the top of my head that would make a lot of sense, but I don't know how financially it would work. Houston Rockets.
Would trade for LeBron?
I don't know how they'd make it work financially, but it would
they'd
be a very
give up. Bit. You'd have to give up probably
CP3.
Paul Capella. And then it comes to the fact, well, if you look at the age part, would you trade LeBron James for an aging, hurting Chris Paul?
No, I think they're looking for a young guy.
Exactly. I think they go for Capella.
But do you
Capella think, and other assets?
I love Capella, but I feel like Capella needs to be he has to be in his role. Like the role he's on the Rockets right now, you have to have that James Harden. You have to have that Chris Paul. I don't think you can build a team around Clint Capella.
Oh, okay.
Apparently you can't build a team around LeBron right now.
So I'm just remembering this. Jeff Van Gundy's idea was moving him to the Clippers. The Clippers got a lot of young guys. So you'd just be getting a whole lot of assets. You get a Montrezl Harrell. Say you can get Zubac back. And I mean, if you like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Shamit, and they have two upcoming first-round picks. They have a bunch more in the future, and he gets to stay in LA.
That makes kind of sense.
The only thing that wouldn't for the Clippers aspect, too, is if you go and get LeBron, does that take you out of the race for trying to get Kawhi Leonard this summer?
That's true.
Oh, no. But you still have max salary caps to – I mean,
no, but I'm saying it's not a money situation.
Right. It's who wants
to
play with
LeBron.
It's an
ego thing. Exactly. He doesn't want to play with them. So if I'm the Clippers, I say, fuck that. I go and try and get at least two other max stars and see what else I can do via trade after the fact. I mean, I think another piece that could be in play for either the Lakers, not in trading LeBron sense, but going to add another guy would be Bradley Beal if Washington's really trying to blow it up.
Yeah, I think that Beal is on another level right now. Like, he's really all NBA level talent. He actually hit that buzzer beater to send it to OT yesterday.
Yeah,
and Washington just can't do anything. Washington sucks. It's the coaching. They can't play defense. I actually, just for the Kings podcast, talked to a Washington Wizards from Locked On Wizards guy like a couple hours ago. So it's like, Washington, they just can't play defense. They put up offensive numbers, but like every game is 120 plus from both sides.
damn.
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, going into the season, I thought Washington and Portland felt like the same team in opposite conferences, and they're just polar opposites in the way they performed. And given Washington had those injuries, like that John Wall injury's terrible. His Supermax starts next season, and he's missed all of this season. He's going to miss all of next. He's an athletic guy, so coming off these injuries, and he got injured in his house. He took off his boot and then got in the shower, fell, and got injured. Done for another year.
I don't know if I believe that.
That's
I
fair.
I feel like something else happened. It's so far-fetched, and people are like, well, it could happen like any time. And I'm like, well, fuck, like I'm screwed then. Like my diet mostly consists of salad and then beer on the weekend. So like, I guess I'm fucked. Like, I don't know. It's, you hear about a dude like that athletic, that in shape, getting hurt like that. And they got surgery beforehand to try and avoid this kind of injury. And then it happened anyway. They had the kiss of death this season, man. I feel bad for the Wizards. And I feel bad for Bradley Beal. He's had a couple great seasons. And he's just stuck on a mediocre Wiz squad. And it sucks because Wall and Beal are so talented, and then you just can't make it work. There's so many teams that have this same problem. You have all this talent, you can't figure it the fuck out. It's been what happened for the Celtics for most of the season. Now they're finally starting around, and it's just like, thank God.
Yeah, and so do we want to move into, we could talk about that plane ride a little bit that apparently has switched this around. And like Jay King had a story about this, and it seemed like Kyrie Irving, all the Celtics have been talking about this. Kyrie Irving had a conversation with Brad Stevens and then went to the rest of the players as well. Apparently apologized for previous crap. He's been very picky about not saying young guys when he's doing interviews or anything like that anymore. And told everyone, you know, take your headphones out. We're going to play these different games and crap like that. Just really be interacting. And we were just touching on it. It reminds me of LeBron a lot. And I feel like that's why he's giving LeBron this credit, because he's in this leadership role now and he realizes how much more it is than just playing basketball. And LeBron was constantly making these guys go to dinner, and you know, maybe those Cleveland teams weren't the best, but they all got along amazingly. And that feels like really what it is with the Celtics. I mean, Jaylen Brown was a prime example for me. I always am keeping an eye whenever something crazy happens on the floor. Jaylen seems like he never gets off the bench, that he's not clapping, he's just straight-faced. And then starting in that Warrior game, and since then, him and everyone else included is up off the bench, is smiles on their face. And obviously, it's easier when you're winning, but it really does seem like something changed with that plane ride.
I fucking hope so.
Seriously.
I really think that something did change. I think the key thing that you mentioned, Brendan, was the fact that he's not looking that – it's not a young guys versus old guys thing anymore. It's teammates. And it's a very mature thing that he's realized, and it's something that I think LeBron has gotten away from this season. But that's the parallel that's kind of been drawn between the Lakers and Celtics this season. It's like, oh, you've got these superstar leaders, and they just can't figure it out. I think the big thing in this situation with Boston is you're with those guys in the locker room. It's regardless of age, this is what you're working with. You know, it's who's in your locker room versus the rest of the league and refs. Like that's what you're going against. The guys that are in your squad, that's who you're fighting with. Regardless of age, they're your teammates. That's most of all, most importantly, they're teammates. And once you put all that other stuff aside, you kind of, you know, silence that noise, you put a damper on it, you're able to focus on just playing basketball, playing good basketball together. And that's just made a huge difference in just the tone and the overall demeanor around the team. And it's weird. You know, we were talking, you know, a few games before we went on this three-game streak, this brutal Western Conference stretch that we were supposed to go to on the road. And it feels like a completely different team. And talking about flipping that switch, and all of a sudden now they are completely unrecognizable from what they were a week ago.
Yeah. It's the ball movement, really. So I was lucky enough to be at that Golden State game. And I mean, I will say it felt more so that Golden State just played terribly. I mean, credit to Boston. They did what they needed to do. They had 38 assists, which was the most they've had since the 90s. It was just absolutely insane. But there were plays where, there was one specifically, where Tatum was wide open under the basket in a half-court set, and it was like the Warriors just completely lost track of them. So I think that the Warriors played bad, but that did a lot for them. I mean, anytime you're able to go in and play the defending champions and smack them by 30 plus, like that's going to do a lot for you. I mean,
chances are few and far between to get an opportunity like that.
Yeah. And I mean, there were times that we saw this Celtics team really look like they were clicking and coming together. And then it would take one game for it to go downhill, and they would have a 5-game stretch, and everyone's only talking about the team during that time. I want to say there was a time when we had like 11 of 15 games in a row that we won. We looked really good. So, I mean, I'm not confident that it's going to stay like this for the rest of the season. Obviously, I really hope it does. But going into playoffs, I think we're clicking that we're the best team in the East still.
That waters down to depth, I think.
I feel like we're a deep team, no?
I don't really care.
I think that's fair.
Thanks, though.
I think it's you know, you have guys like Hayward and Brown who are starting to come around. Hayward especially, which should definitely be a hot topic because his play as of late has just been absurd.
Yeah.
But you've got guys like that who are heating up, and then you've got Marcus Smart who's having one of his best shooting seasons all time right now for him personally. He's hitting career numbers. You've got Mook Morris who's cooled off significantly, but he was having a career season earlier in the but you've got guys that you can kind of just throw out in any, you know, hodgepodge lineup, and it's going to be, you know, daunting to cover. And one thing that benefits the Celtics is because they have all these guys who can do all these different things. You don't know what starting lineup you could get in the playoffs. You know, it could be similar to what happened, you know, before, where you're going against the Bulls and all of a sudden you're starting, you know, Gerald Green out of nowhere. You know, they've got that kind of depth. Hopefully they don't have to resort to those kind of crazy tactics, you know, like start Yabu at the 5 versus the Bucks. Let's
go. Give me a bow and arrow dab.
Oh, yeah. So any team that has depth like the Celtics is obviously going to be a handful, and it's just all in the roster construction. I still think they should go out and try and get a rebounder, but at this point, it really depends who's going to be on the buyout market. And even then, now we've passed the deadline where anyone who gets added is not going to be playoff eligible. So unless they add a free agent, I don't think there's anything else they can do. This is the squad they've got. So it's a good time to start figuring things out. And it seems so far that they've been responding to that.
Yeah, I know we've said this a couple times, but get Marcus Morris out of this starting lineup. I understand you need guys in there that are just going to understand their role and, you know, play their defense, take their open threes, be in the right spot. But I'm ready for Jaylen to go in there. I think I honestly am good with the starting five we had at the beginning of the year. And the only reason I'm taking Marcus out is so he can run that second unit. It's him or Gordon, in my opinion, that runs that unit. I think that Jaylen's in the bench right now because he works a little bit better with the ball in his hand. They seem to like to get him in the low post. He's got a nasty post fadeaway where he rises over and can hit that all day. But I am so ready to go back to that original starting five.
Yeah, I think they got to bring it out. And I think now that we've kind of seen what Hayward's been able to do in the last few games, just mentioning it now, he's during this 3-game streak, he's led the team an offensive rating of almost 120.
Insane.
So, and he's averaging almost 19 points on this, you know, West Coast road trip. So, I mean, he dropped like 30 off the bench against the Warriors. And you've got now, I think he's the third player to do that in franchise history. The other one being Kevin McHale, who was doing the players only broadcast too. But he's dropped 30 off the bench 3 times this season. And it's really awesome to have that kind of guy there, but you're paying him max money. Let the man go out there and just let him do what he does. I want to see more minutes of him and Kyrie together, because at the end of the day, the chemistry between those two and the chemistry that Hayward's going to have with that starting unit could really determine what the exact ceiling of this team is. It could determine whether they're, you know, an early second round exit, or if they're going to be in the finals going to toe with the Warriors.
Yeah, and we saw him hit that game winner in Sacramento. That was that was probably huge for him to
have that confidence.
Yeah, and nobody gets more hype when Gordon does good shit than Kyrie. Kyrie has been trying to play with Gordon. They tried to recruit Gordon to go to Cleveland when Kyrie was there. Kyrie loves this guy and understand what he's capable of. And like Gordon just finally looks aggressive. Like he looks like he realized when he comes off these screens, I can pull up, I can hit this every day. I can drive to the rim. Like he just is finally getting back to being aggressive, it seems like.
Yeah, it's like he's finding his footing again. You know, it's like we've been saying all season, it's going to take time for Gordon. I mean, he suffered a severe traumatic injury, which the word trauma is not an understatement. Like his leg was dangling off of his body in front of millions of people. Anyway, that stays in your mind. It never goes away. So
you just gave everyone the chills.
Yeah. So sorry, everybody.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean,
injury I've ever seen.
And it gave us the chills talking about it. He went through it. So think about every time he thinks about it. But anyway, it doesn't go away. That stuff won't go away. Will he have the same athleticism they had in Utah, which is pretty sneaky athleticism? Maybe not. But he's looking a lot better. He's running more fluently. Every time he has the ball in his hand, he has an idea, which is to score for a second, make the right basketball play, which a lot of times him attacking the rim or that mid-range, that step back from the elbow he loves to do, which gets everyone just going sideways. It's a great move he has. And he's starting to pick it back up on the second unit. I feel like he's good on the second unit. I don't feel like he should be the one moved up to the starting lineup, mostly because I feel like he's finally starting to find his footing where he's at. I don't want to sort of jeopardize that. When he gets put in the lineup, it's the whole beginning of the year where he doesn't know when to shoot, what to do. He's deferring too much. But anyway, I 100% agree that Gordon's coming back. Black-Eyed Gordon is in the pantheon of greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah, so who punched him?
Robin. Has to be Robin. Has to be Robin. Has to be Robin. I will bet my house I don't own yet on Robin. He was playing his Apex Legends, his Fortnite, for a little too long, and she just said, "Bink," and just got him right across the eye. And you know what? We should get Robin t-shirts because we need to support that. That is a woman knowing her place. She went out what she want and got it. And you know what? That made Gordon a better basketball player in doing so. We need a statue next to the Bill Russell statue in Boston of Robin Hayward.
Yeah, she said, "Fuck your video games. Play some basketball. I need a championship ring."
Dude, and
swift backhand.
I will tell you right now.
clean shirt.
Child 4 is on the way. Exactly.
Another girl.
Very erotic.
He got hit in the face, and it was go time. I feel like Gordon's one of those guys. Gordon's a freak.
Erotic city.
Guaranteed.
Nothing like talking about Gordon Hayward's sexual behaviors.
Bouncing off of that briefly, what do you guys think of Baines getting his hair cut?
Okay, I think that it's weird, but I also don't understand how that is bouncing off. But, I will.
I'm going off of best looks of all time. I think shaved head Baines is an amazing look.
I think that you can still see where the man bun and the hair on the top of his head used to be. So it makes me really uncomfortable.
His toddler did cut it off.
He just took
a set of clippers to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish he kept just the man bun. Like, cut everything in the middle and the front, and then just a little bun in the back.
He legit could walk out there. He's playing, which is all that I care about.
He could go out there
in a Santa outfit with, like, his beard on backwards, and I'd be fine with it.
He'd still be intimidating, too.
Yeah, everyone knows if you listen to this podcast, my devotion and need of a playing Aaron Baines for this team. So he could legit go out there with my foot I gave him, and it'd be fine.
I forgot about that. You gave him both, and we put it together, so it fit him, right?
If he still needs it, it's a go for me.
Yeah. Any body parts you need, Baines. I know you got all legit of Australia. You're probably good there. But Cody's got you.
Yeah, legit. I mean, I offered my hand when he hand. I mean, you can have whatever, dude.
So, touching on your Marcus Smart three-point shooting, I got a crazy stat. There's only 15 games left in the season, and this is Adam, oh, help me out with this last name, Himmelsbach?
Adam Himmelsbach, I think.
There
yeah.
you go.
Adam Himmelsbach.
Yeah.
Himmelsbach.
Better three-point shooter this season. He's at 37%, which is crazy because it really was just like that hot stretch that lasted like a month and a half, 2 months. Better three-point shooter than Tatum, Horford, Gordon, Rozier, and Jaylen. And he's only 0.9% behind Marcus Morris right now.
Yeah, which is, I don't think anyone saw that coming in. And before I go any further, I think Adam's a great guy. He's a great Twitter follow. I'm not making fun of his last name. I just mispronounced it.
Come on the podcast.
But yeah, please, please. I think Marcus having the season he's having has just been so crucial. I mean, I don't think anyone saw him coming in and starting. And it's kind of weird. He just came in and just poached Jaylen Brown's spot. And everyone loves Jaylen. And granted, while Jaylen has had some ups and downs, he's starting to finally get consistent play, and he's been playing great. But now it's like, what are you going to disturb that starting lineup, that tandem of Smart and Kyrie? They've been playing great together. And yeah. I think now you're kind of running into this problem that I think a lot of people worried about, where you've got all this talent, and it's a matter of figuring out whose spots are going to be where, who's getting X amount of shots. I mean, the good thing is you have Brown coming off the bench, but he's getting starter minutes, so maybe he doesn't care as much. And that's the good thing about having a coach like Stevens is you've got him handling all these minutes so appropriately, so no one's overworked, and everyone's getting their fair share.
Yeah, he was just on the jump when they were on their LA road trip the day before yesterday. And, I mean, I think these are kind of bull. You're always going to give these same answers to the media. But he was asked by Scotty, like, what is your feeling about coming off the bench? He's like, I don't care. We're winning games. I'm going to do whatever it takes as long as we keep winning games. And that's, I really feel like that is what it comes down to. Like I said, I think it's a little bit of bull. I mean, not necessarily his answer, but anyone is going to answer that question that way that gets asked. But I think there's truth behind it, that winning solves everything. It really just comes down to that.
Yeah, also, I think winning is a cure-all.
Yeah.
If you're winning, no one's complaining. It's the same thing with the Warriors last year. They won the championship. You got David West, you know, post-game locker room saying, you have no idea what was going on in this, you know, this locker room. You wouldn't believe the stories. And it's, you know, who knows what will happen with the end of this Celtics season, but you've got a lot of guys in here who've got a lot of egos. It's without question. I do have to say that Jaylen handled that interview incredibly well. And he got handed a freaking bomb of a question. You know, regardless of what he was going to say, it was going to be dissected, and he probably gave the best answer possible in the given situation.
Yeah. I also want to say happy belated birthday to Marcus Smart. Barely turned 25, which is crazy. Feels like a veteran in this league, and on March 6th was his birthday, so sorry we missed that one, Marcus. Happy belated.
Yeah. Happy belated, of course.
My king.
Have you guys heard his rap that he has? I just found this yesterday.
Was it his rap or was it just him dancing in a music video?
No,
I thought it was somebody else rapping.
So it's actually, I think it's someone else's song technically, but he has a verse in it that's practically the chorus, and it's called 52 mil. And he's literally, it was right after he got his contract.
Yeah,
it is so
that.
Funny. I'll snip it in here and play it in the podcast. It was so funny.
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to blame the man for getting his bag.
No, of course, dude. If I got everyone a $52 million contract, I am flexing that. I'll make a rap song. I'll do everything.
The thought of it is just very humorous. Just like, I don't know, he's just like running out. Just like first thing he did when he got paid was just like, I need to make a rap music video.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Flex on him.
Dude, you can't blame him. And he was decent.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
He definitely spits. He definitely spits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, KD had a SoundCloud. Dame Lillard. Plenty of dudes got SoundClouds.
There's some okay guys, yeah.
Yeah, all things considered.
Shumpert is, like, low-key the best one there. But he's
I didn't
got,
even know Shump rapped.
Yeah, Shumpert's good, too, but he's got Tiana Taylor as his wife, so it's kind of a cheat code.
That's a big cheat code. That's a hot cheat code.
Oh, yeah.
That is the cheat of codes. Yikes. I don't know. I'm not a big Lonzo guy. I don't think, but
oh,
it's Lonzo
no,
Ball.
Really,
I like Damian Lillard. I actually like his stuff. Like he does have two songs with Lil Wayne, and they kind of go in, and I'm like,
all
right.
Oh, you're a Wayne guy, though. I'm all about that, too, though.
Big Wayne guy. Oh, huge Wayne guy.
Agreed.
Actually, let me just do this real quick. Hit him with the browse on the Spotify.
What's artist. The Wayne song right now?
Loyal to the Soil. That shit bumps. Now, I think on a flex, that shit is insane.
That's fair. Dude, I will take every song off the Carter 5, to be honest.
Love the Carter 5. Carter 3, best hip-hop album of all time, and that's straight back. All
right. So I'm pretty sure we're a Celtics podcast, to be honest. I believe that we're making the 3 seed. I think Indiana's got a terrible record. I don't know who won their game this morning between Philadelphia and Indiana.
Philly did. So now both teams are a half game within Boston. Boston is a tiebreaker over Philly.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can hit that 3 seed, and then that leaves us with not having to play Indiana or Philadelphia round one, and likely Detroit, maybe Brooklyn.
Would like Detroit. Brooklyn would be almost poetic.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Detroit's bigs kind of worry me, though.
That's the one thing, is their bigs match up. But if you have – the thing is, with Horford playing the way he's playing right now, since he gotten healthy, he's been playing great. And then if you can have Baines be a little bit healthier, you know, you've got two really solid rotational bigs. You can go big, or if you want to try and punish him and go small and, you know, abuse the mismatches in terms of speed, you can always do that. But Drummond scares me because he's just a rebound machine. Yeah. Griffin is one of the best ball handling bigs in the league. He would definitely worry me too. So there's a lot to deal with in terms of bigs with them. It's a similar problem they would run into if they won against a team like the Bucks. But I think in terms of coaching, they have the upper hand there. I think that's not a stretch to say, even though Dwayne Casey, I think, is a great coach. I'm just wondering how they'll go about it. It's always interesting thinking about that kind of playoff matchup, because they've got one thing that we really don't have, and it's depth at that 4 and 5 that can really just punish us. Their bigs just get rebounds like crazy, and that's the one thing that would make me sweat as a Celtics fan.
As long as Zaza isn't closing out too hard on any of our guys, I'm good.
Oh, screw that guy. Screw that guy so much. I forgot
you mentioned it a little bit before we were recording. I think it's more so the second round matchup. And I don't think you really play for seeding. I don't think that the Celtics intentionally lose games to be in that 4 seed to it. Because personally, I'd rather be seeing Milwaukee than Toronto round 2. But I think that no matter, you're trying to win every single game leading up to playoffs. You're trying to be in a groove playing your best ball. But who would you rather see round 2? Because I think we win round 1 no matter who we see.
Yeah. I think that's, at this point, at least riding the high off the past 3 games,
yeah,
I would
fair.
Say, yeah. I think the round 1 is going to be when regardless who we face, it's just a matter of how many games it's going to take. I think going against Toronto in round 2 would probably be a make or break series, because, you know, I think you have to have Kyrie help you steal a game on the road. That's going to happen no matter what you're going against, whether it be the Bucks or Toronto. But I think with the Bucks, they're a team that the Celtics have faced before. Granted, it took 7 games before, but they still beat them last year without Kyrie. Both teams have changed. Both teams have gotten better. Milwaukee make a couple very, very savvy moves by going to get Mirotić. Adding Brook Lopez in the summer was huge. And we still don't know how Pau Gasol is going to fit in. Granted, he's old as hell, but it's still Pau Gasol.
And Budenholzer are really – that's the big one for me. That's my coach of the year.
He's transformed that team, man. And, yeah, I think you are correct. I think he's got to be a really, really solid coach of the year candidate. But
– oh, it has to be.
Going against a team like that with that many bigs just worries me. And I feel like, granted, you've got Paul's brother, Mark, in Toronto now, which I keep forgetting that happened. But, you know, I would feel much more comfortable going against Toronto than I would against the Bucks in some ways, just because I think Horford is going to abuse Gasol, but I just don't know how I feel about Giannis. And that's – I think the wings are really going to be the deal breaker in either series, but I think the matchup's better for Horford going against Gasol than it is going against Giannis. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination.
Well, that's why we got Shemmy.
Shemmy. I think the dream situation is we get the 4 seed. We play Indiana first round and get the home court advantage. I think we take care of them in 5, maybe 6. That gives us Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee scares me because they scare me and then they don't scare me. I feel like Milwaukee has that stigma of they don't really do anything, but I believe like this year's team is just because they have a competent coach for like the first time in like ever. Like you said, if Budenholzer doesn't get the coach of the year, then I'm suing the NBA because who else deserves that? I mean, legit, this team is 50 wins quicker than anybody. They're the best team in the league. Plus, he redefined whatever. On the road, though, scares me. This Celtics team is notorious for not playing well on the road. And especially last year, even last year with the Milwaukee team they had, took us to 7. Granted, it wasn't the same Celtics team they faced. I would still be a little scared.
Kyrie's difference there.
Right. The best dream scenario is we get the 4 seed, face the Indiana Pacers, and beat them. We beat the Bucks, and then Philadelphia upsets the Raptors. So it would be Philadelphia-Boston Conference Finals. I think that's the dream scenario.
I will play Philadelphia every single series if that was possible. Philadelphia is my favorite matchup.
Right, yeah. And it's well documented that the Celtics kind of have Philly's number.
I mean, they're like one of the only teams that have consistently beaten on the road without Kyrie.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, and also on top of that, maybe it's just a Celtics fan in me. I still feel like we're the best. Once the playoffs roll around, we're the best team in the East. I can see us beating all of these teams.
I think, sorry, I butted in on that, Cody, earlier, with Kyrie, I think that he's going to be that X factor this year. I think that's thing to say, but when you're looking at their stats home and away, statistically at home, they're much better without Kyrie. They're about 20% better on wins. So I think they're about 62% now on the road and at home with Kyrie. When they're at home without him, their record is 82 or 83% win percentage. But on the road, they suffer so greatly without him. So if he can go in and steal a game on the road for you in any given series, I feel very comfortable if I'm Boston. You know, it's still – you're going to go up against some really difficult teams, but you're going to have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Then you're going to go in and you're going to either face, depending on how everything rolls out, anywhere from Milwaukee to Toronto to Philly or Indy somehow – in that second round. I mean, the worst out of that's probably going to be either Toronto or Milwaukee. And yeah, it's really just at the end of the day in the playoffs, it's a matter of matchups and how you play on the road. Can you win a game in somebody else's house in the playoffs? And there's not many other teams that have been able to come into Boston in the postseason lately and steal a game. So it's whoever can win a road game first wins. That's really what it waters down to.
Yep.
I'm clearly a homer in this, and no matter how much I try not to be, it's impossible with this Boston team, Celtics in general. But what is your percentage that we're making the finals? I'm a 70%. It's probably high, but I really do believe, like you said, that we have the talent there. I think Kyrie's the most proven guy in the conference in that regards come playoffs. I'm probably too confident that we're making the finals with this team.
Ask me in 10 games.
I mean, we'll have 5 left, to be fair.
Ask me
the conference finals.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm a 60 right now because there's something about it. If you – growing up in Massachusetts, it's quite documented that we are probably the most spoiled sports people in the history of sports ever. And even teams that really aren't expected to win, when it comes to playoff time, there's something about Boston where you either shit the bed, Red Sox, a lot of the time, or
Bruins,
or you just outplay what everyone thought you could be. And, you know, with all the hate the Patriots get every year, they completely revamped their entire offense the last, like, 3 weeks of the season and then rolled into it into the Super Bowl and won. And then I just feel like this team is something that once the playoffs start, I feel like Brad just, like, goes into God mode. I feel like Kyrie just elevates his game. Tatum elevates. Everyone just elevates themselves. And it's like watching two separate – like, I just get this feeling from this team. So I feel like, you know, yeah, if you look at what we've seen so far, yeah, no, it hasn't been the greatest of seasons. It's been actually – for most of the season, it's been pretty just miserable to watch because you watch a team underperform, and that's probably the worst feeling as a sports fan. But I just feel like once the offs come around, it's just go time, you know? Like, I just get that hunch, that feeling.
That Marcus intuition. Smart finals MVP.
Yeah, sad. I need Gordon. If Gordon drops 30 in Golden State in the finals, I don't know what I would do.
We win three games in a row. We don't know how to act. We're talking about finals MVP.
I mean, to be fair, it started off with Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, dropping 30 on Golden State and winning by like.
And then the game winner the next night? Oh, dude, Gordon legit.
He's key to it.
Made my it's fantasy like, in the last 2 days. All yeah. I've been doing is just locking myself in my room.
What you been doing? What you been doing, man?
I have been. Erotically touching myself to Gordon Hayward.
Whoa.
Gordon Hayward's highlight tape the last 3 days.
So, okay, so speaking of that a little bit, promise this isn't a terrible question.
Speaking of erotically touching myself.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anybody on this team, or I guess in the league, but probably on this team, like, I would say Marcus is my favorite player, but when Jaylen does something good, I get way too hyped. Like, Jaylen is my guy for sure. Like, do you have a guy that just whenever some shit happens that you just get way more hyped for one guy than others?
It's Gordon. For me, it's Gordon. Because, I mean, like, he went through hell. He went through hell. I mean, like me and my friend had this joke. If God presented himself in front of you and said you could have two things, one would be just have the perfect life, have everything you ever want, or B, Gordon goes off for 45 to beat Golden State in Golden State Game 7.
God's a Celtics fan.
I'm picking Gordon every single time. I am sacrificing the rest of my life to watch Gordon Hayward drop 50-piece to win a chip in Golden State. Of course! I mean, Gordon is the guy. I mean, like, it's just every time Gordon scores, it's Gordon. I don't know. Gordon.
Those answers kind of sound like the same thing. Like, if Gordon does that, that completes my life right there.
That's what I'm saying. It's a trick question. You're getting both. You're getting both.
We call this a quandary.
Who's your guy, Tim?
I think I get really, really amped when either Tatum or Brown does something. There's just something also really awesome in seeing Kyrie hit a three, just because, like, when he pulls up and he's just, like, a foot and a half, 2 feet behind the line – and you're just like, wow, so bold. And then he just like, it's just an absolute swish. And you're like, oh, like, what the fuck, man? Like, why are you so good? Like,
he
how? How?
He's the master of the fucking
three. It's the same thing with Steph, bro. It's like, when you watch Steph, like, you want to, like, I remember, like, going against Kyrie and be like, man, fuck this guy. Like, he's so damn good. And then going against Steph, it's the same thing where, like, he'll just hit a shot he has no business. Like, no one has any business hitting. And then he hits it, and you're like, well, that's just what it is. Them's the breaks. Yeah. Like,
just a loud sigh. And I'm like, fuck this guy.
And these are the breaks.
All right, so we're running. We barely hit over an hour here. Is there anything else we want to touch up on, guys?
C's are going to beat the Clips. Sweep this Western Conference road trip. And they're going to bring a lot of swagger back to Boston. And I think the momentum is good. I think when this team is winning, you know, everything, all their chemistry stuff goes to the side. And even if, like, they obviously will probably have some losses along the way, but I think it'll be a lot less significant to the media when they lose. Because at the end of the day, if they're taking losses and they're playing good basketball, and it's like, hey, you had one or things, you know, one or two things not bounce your way. But at this point, I don't think there's any more excuses. Just want to see Gordon grow a little bit more, get him more comfortable, and you know, get McMorris out of the starting lineup, insert Brown.
Yeah, I think this Clippers game is given the way that Golden State played, that this is going to be the hardest game of the road trip.
Yeah.
Cody, what's your hot take to close out on here?
See, I think it's been quite well documented that Cody's hot takes have been hot garbage. I said my last hot take was Celtics win 10 directly out of the break as we go on a 5-game losing streak. I will keep it. My hot take is the Celtics will make the playoffs.
No, that's not okay. Hot enough. I'm not with it.
Should I go with a hot take?
Go like, with seeding. I don't know.
Marcus Smart will have a number one hit on the top 100 charts.
Should I try a reverse hot take where I just like bash the Celtics and then God just reverses whatever I say? Or do I just keep on this roll? I don't want to speak into existence. I'm not going to say that. All right. Hot take. Marcus Morris is in the bench within the next 3 games. I think Brad finds out that Marcus needs to just relax. And I feel like they go really small and bring Jaylen up. And I feel like it's going to be Marcus, Jaylen, Jason, Al, and Kyrie within the next 3 games.
And I think here's to add on that briefly. I think Morris is going to benefit from that, and we're going to see a resurgence of him right before the playoffs.
Yes. Okay.
If Marcus Morris is still starting come playoffs, I'm never asking another hot take from Cody. Editing them out, they're not happening.
Yeah, no, legit. Like I'm saying, I thought Celtics making the playoffs was like kind of risky for me saying that.
So bold.
We'd have to lose a lot of games.
We had a 2012 Red Sox if we wanted to not make
the playoffs. You'd have to just free fall. I'd drink myself into a hole if that were the case.
Oh, dude, I drink myself into a coma.
Anyways, thank you for listening to this episode of the Celtics Pulse Podcast. Like we said before, check out the rest of the podcast on the network at pulsepodcastnetwork.com, and you will hear from us again in the next couple days here.
Thank you for listening, boys and girls and people
and Laker fans.